baseball show you're ever going to find on the radio.
Ballpoint, boom, net, net, ball, net, done.
Rob Bradford of WEEI.com and Steve Peralta of the Section 10 Podcast are making the greatest game great again, 2 hours at a time.
We have some pillows. We have some pillows on the dirt.
No football, no basketball, no hockey. Just the most entertaining baseball talk you've ever experienced. It's the Live BP Baseball Show.
If you hit the man with the ball, then he may run to the pillows.
With Bradford and Peralt on EEI.
All right, it's the Live BP Baseball Show. I'm Rob Bradford along with Steve Peralt. Once again, you're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome because this is the only place you're going to get real baseball talk.
Yes.
Real baseball talk at the most important time to get real baseball talk, which is on, what's today, May 8th?
Yes.
And we just so happen to be usually talking about, almost exclusively talking about, the best team in the major leagues, which on May 8th, Steve Peralt of Section 10 and Bleacher Report, is kind of insane.
I honestly was thinking about this last night, and I'm telling you, Rob, one of the most riveting things that I did not think would be riveting at all was watching the chase to 20 wins at about 12:30 a.m. this morning when I had our guy, Nate. He cooked up like a 20 wins graphic for Section 10, and I'm watching the A's game while the Red Sox game is going on. What was it, an hour 40 delay, rain delay yesterday for the Red Sox?
Yes.
And so the Oakland A's were finishing around the same time that the Red Sox were finishing in Camden Yards. And sure enough, our guy, Valdez, my goodness. What are your thoughts on him?
Is Philip Valdez a friend of the show or an enemy of the show?
I can't tell, because earlier on when he had a really bad outing in Baltimore before one of our shows, I want to say about 3 weeks ago, it was like, okay, you know, that was the game that JD had three homers. It was like, whatever, is what it is. And now it's like, wait a second, does Valdez stink? Like, I'm trying to figure out if he's good or not, if I need to, you know, have him in a Live BP 60.
Well, there is, and by the way, 617-779-7937, the only time in the entire week where you can actually dive into the real baseball talk.
Oh, and real quick, just to finish off my point there, it was thrilling that the Red Sox beat the A's by 1 minute to 20 wins.
They did.
It was insane.
I mean,
because I could just say,
I was sweating it out.
I'm telling you, everybody was. All Red Sox Nation was standing as one.
I had the prop bet in Vegas.
And you know, the MLB account had both graphics ready to go, and you know they were doing the same thing. They were like, what's going to happen here? And sure enough, the A's hit a walk-off homer a minute after the Red Sox win. So that was riveting, just to start it off here. But yeah, we're taking you up to first pitch, by the way.
Yeah, and yeah, it's another 3 hours. Let's call it what it is. It's another 3 hours of baseball talk.
Yeah.
And, you know, we did this last week, and it was great. It's unbelievable. We've been doing these shows, and there is so much to talk about, and I'm not just saying that. Believe me, I've been long enough where I can lie with the best of them.
Yeah.
But I am telling you the truth, Steve Peralt. It's like we are just going from one thing to another, and in large part, let's be honest, it's because of this team, the best team in baseball. And the first question we have to throw out there, and we're going to get to the calls in a second, is I think it's a fair one. All right, we know this mathematically. The Red Sox are the best team in baseball right now.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes, correct.
Okay, but are they the best team in baseball?
I know we talked a lot about this with the AL East. Are the Red Sox the best team in the AL East? Let's put the record aside. From what you've seen in the games, are the Red Sox the best team in the AL East? And I think we definitely said yes, even though I said, yeah.
I'm all in, man. Like, I was all in early.
You were all in early. I'll give you credit. And they're, you know, what, 20-13 now, and they do have the best record in baseball. But overall, I think what this really is, if you really break it down overall from a Major League Baseball standings perspective, it's because the Dodgers suck lately. That's why this is even a discussion.
Of course.
Because the Dodgers absolutely are the most talented roster in
baseball. We thought they were going to win 120 games.
I don't want to say that easily, but
we thought they were going to win 180 games.
162, I think, was on the table for the Dodgers. But obviously, they've faded recently to the point where it's like, what's going on there? I understand Bellinger's out. I understand they lost Dustin May. But I keep looking at the box scores, and I'm like, the Dodgers lost again? They got swept by the Cubs, who are a 500 team. Even though the Cubs, by the way, fun team to watch this year. I feel like they're having a walk-off like every other night. Anytime I watch them on TV, I enjoy it. Craig Kimbrel, I think, has like an 0.78 ERA, which is wild. But I think the only reason that you can talk about the Red Sox as potentially being, put the records aside, as potentially being the best team in baseball is because the Dodgers are struggling.
Well, going into this year, who were the teams that were the Steve Peralt power rankings, the Live BP power rankings? And I think that the consensus would be the Dodgers are at the top.
Yeah.
The Yankees are probably somewhere in there.
A good gap, by the way. You'd say that, right?
Yeah. And if you want to throw in the Vogue pick, you can do the Padres, and you're welcome for that word, Vogue. And then you have, take your pick. Take your pick of a bunch of teams. There was no team in the American League where you say, absolutely, they loaded up. The White Sox, maybe, but you have a manager who can only get halfway to the mound to actually make pitching changes.
Goodness, the slowest dugout to mound
walk
of
also,
any manager,
by the
maybe
way,
ever.
Also, not trending well for Tony La Russa.
I want to say one thing about Tony La Russa, and I'm glad we're widening it out to the league now because there's a lot of league things to talk about in this show today. Once again, 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Live BP show. I am Steve Peralt. That's Rob Bradford, WEEI Hall of Famer. I'm just saying that. I feel like with Tony La Russa, the headline this week that was very cheap. It was low-hanging fruit.
Did we do it?
I didn't think it was fair. I don't think you did. Maybe you did. Correct me if I'm wrong.
But the
headline this week was Tony La Russa doesn't know the extra innings rule. That's not fair. It was a rule within the extra innings rule that he didn't know that I can almost guarantee 99% of baseball fans didn't know. And that's if you do a double switch and the guy that's in the back of the lineup is the last out is now that place is the pitcher. When you get to extra innings and Liam Hendricks holds that that game at 0-0 for White Sox Reds, when you get to extra innings, you can now have the guy that made the previous out before the pitcher run on second. It doesn't have to be the pitcher. I did not know that. Did you know that?
Sure.
You didn't know it either.
Yeah.
I may or may not have known it,
but I'm not the manager. And the point is that you have this uber talented Chicago White Sox team, and everyone's complaining about Tony La Russa. I will say this, Steve, is that, and this goes to the conversation we're having, are the Red Sox the best team in baseball? The White Sox were loaded up. And everyone is, had Tony La Russa in the crosshairs, like we want to criticize him for exactly those sort of things. But here's the thing. They're sitting here at 17-13 in first place.
Yeah.
Like, get over it. Get over it. Yeah, Tony La Russa is maybe not the best manager in baseball right now, but news alert. You don't have to be if you have a lot of talent.
And if you're going down that topic we were discussing earlier, are the Red Sox the best team in Major League Baseball? They have the best record, but here are other teams that are near them. The San Francisco Giants are a half game behind the Red Sox. Do we think they're going to be there at the end of the year? I do not, in terms of top of Major League Baseball. The Oakland A's, ridiculous run by the A's. What do they start, 1-7?
Well, who coming into town, by the way?
That's going to be a huge series. So the Oakland A's, I also don't think, are going to be that high in terms of the overall.
And nobody put them there at the beginning of the year either.
In terms of like the teams that are in the top 10 right now, it's a lot of like the Indians. I don't think people thought the Indians were going to be 17-14 at this point. The Phillies are in the mix. The Padres are 3 over .500. You have the Yankees who are .500. The Yankees are just, what a weird watch that team is. I obviously watch a lot of Yankees games. We keep eyes on them, see what happens in the AL East. But watching him last night, and it's like Jameson Taillon's whatever, man. Like, he's a whatever pitcher. I know Kluber had a couple good starts. He got his cute little, like, starter of the week award or whatever. But with Gerrit Cole on the mound, they're 3-4 this year. And then you watch these other guys on the bump, and it's like,
Put it this way. So if you want to look at the Red Sox, we can pick apart the Red Sox, and we have, and we will. And really, since their 9-game winning streak, they've been about a .500 team. Understandable. Good for them for having this record. They're still a very flawed team. But the biggest takeaway from this year in Major League Baseball, why we can even have this conversation about the Red Sox, is because all these teams are flawed. The Cardinals are 19-14. They're flawed. The Giants, who's not going to say that they're not flawed? And it's not like you have this uber good starting rotation. The only team that we thought might have that is exactly what you mentioned. The Dodgers, we thought that they had every right to say we are a class above and just print up the World Series, give us the fraudulent hardware store piece of metal, which is the World Series trophy right now.
Let's say at the end of the day, let's say 5 years from now, Rob, the only title the Dodgers won, and this is a long stretch of NL West dominance that the Dodgers have had. If the only title they've won is the 60-game season, that title is going to get worse and worse as we go along here. Like right now, we're looking at the Dodgers as, ooh, the big bad Dodgers, defending champs. They got Mookie from Boston and immediately won. They're loaded. They got Trevor Bauer. All of a sudden, 5 years down the road, that's the only title you have. That's not a great look. So there's a lot of eyes on him. I understand you lose May. I get Bellinger is... I don't know what his problem is.
Mookie with a back injury, and he hasn't really been the same.
He's looked off. He homered last night.
I mean, the good news is they have Joe Kelly coming back, so that should turn everything around.
Didn't Kelly just give up four? Like, he just got rocked last night, right?
Oh, did he?
I think he got rocked last night. So basically, yes.
But he's got a great personality.
He has a great personality. if we're going to start ranking these teams by personality, the Dodgers are pretty good.
All right, 617-779-7937, some of the other topics. And obviously, when we do the live BP show, particularly leading up to a game where we are tonight, today, we have 2 hours up to 6 o'clock. Then Steve and I will take over the pregame show as we did last week with a rousing success. The ratings were off the chart for that pregame show. There's a lot to get to because, as we said, we had a whole week of stuff. And, in you know, there has been a week of stuff. And really, it's like the Tigers came to down, and I didn't even put this on our list. Miguel Cabrera.
Oh my goodness.
But that can get into the Pujols conversation because that's very uncomfortable. We mentioned Bogarts. I proclaimed him the Mike Trout of shortstops. Am I insane? But just hear me out on that when we bring it up. Franchi. Your favorite player in the major league, Franchi Cordero. By the way, Andrew Benintendi. Still hitting. Here's one that I put out there for us. Now that the minor league season has started, and you know, and Jared Duran, the first series, went 0 for 11 with 6 strikeouts, and he said, I'll take this, WEI.com, for putting that post up. Here are my 3 hits last night. But I'm just sort of curious, which prospects can't fail? And you know, do you know what I'm saying with that, with the Red Sox? Like, we know which prospects could probably help them the most this year, but which are the ones you say, for the future of this organization, can't fail?
Is this a tease, or are we doing this?
This
right
is
now?
A tease.
All right, yeah. See, this is a Rob Bradford thing when he'll do a tease, but then he pitches it to you like it's the segment stat.
I know. I was sort of in between because I got so wrapped
if
up.
If anything, this builds the tease up more. So
I got so wrapped up in the conversation. Like we said, Pujols, and then Bobby Dalbec.
We have a lot.
This week, it should be a segment. This week. In the bottom of the Red Sox batting order.
This week in baseball was one of my favorite things. I remember they used to play it before Red Sox games.
You don't know Jean-Claude Van Damme, you know This Week in Baseball? What's wrong with you?
I only know baseball stuff, all right? And then a couple movies here.
All right, before we go to the calls, yes or no, the Red Sox are the best team in baseball as we sit here.
If I have to say one, then yes.
Okay. Which team is pulling at your heartstrings and making you rethink that statement?
That's why I said yes.
Because there's not one.
Because there's not one.
That's bizarre.
Yeah. Isn't that the deal, though? Isn't that the deal? You look at the MLB standings, and I keep watching these Dodgers games because of the hour difference, and they're on MLB Network a lot. And, yeah, they're struggling. Obviously, it's May. I mean, this is what we talk about. This is early season struggles.
But it's May 8th.
No, I know. We're getting a little deeper in here, and then it's going to be June 1st, like tomorrow. So I understand that aspect of it as well. But, yeah, missing Bellinger is a big deal. But that's the thing. I look at the top of the MLB standings right now. I'm not worried about the Giants staying there. Not like it even matters. They're in the National League. The A's, I don't think they're going to have the best record in the American League. The Yankees are a 500 team. The Rays are going to be around there, too. So if you're a Red Sox fan specifically, bringing it back to the AL East, what you saw not just last night but in the last week or so, minus the Yankees getting some wins against trash teams like the Red Sox did, you should still feel comfortable. That was my biggest thing the last 2 days. Chill. Everyone relax. You should still feel comfortable with where this Red Sox team is at right now.
I will say this, is that they're as good as any team. Like, if they play any team right now, they could beat them.
That's a good way to look at it. Heading into any series, would it be like, oh,
no,
they're going to lose this
series? The potential, but I do think this. I think that the American League East, it's going to be a wild ride. It's going to be...
I'm excited. Like, I know a lot of people were kind of flipping out about... Or not flipping out, but just... getting a little worried that it was getting tight.
Well, I'm not worried. I just want to see competitive. Like, it's great. Are you kidding me? This is awesome.
Don't you want these battles?
Yes.
Like, there were so many years, and specifically from like 2000 to 2010, where either the Red Sox were good or the Yankees were good. And actually extending that down even up to today. In the last 20 years, you don't have a lot of seasons that they're both really good.
No, and then throw in, you never, okay, maybe you had the Rays in the mix, but you never had 4 teams. All considered, hey, these might be the best teams in the American League.
How often was it even 3?
Well, the Rays,
I know the O's got in the mix.
The Rays, you know, have had a run even when the Yankees and Red Sox are
But I'm saying them all being like Red Sox and Yankees all being really good in the same year is rare. And I'm not to say the Rays are going to be really good.
And here's the thing, Steve, is that all of these teams, they're all built and they all have their unique problems,
yes.
Right? Like the Rays, I think the one thing people say, oh, look at their lineup and they lost Blake Snell and they lost Charlie Morton. I don't think people understand the level of prospects that they have ready to roll. We're not talking about like next year. We're talking about
right now.
When you get to the second half of this year, you're going to be like, Shane McClanahan, what?
Yeah.
Shane McClanahan, who?
What's his face just threw 200 miles an hour with movement. Who was that that had, he threw
was
like
it McClanahan or Pitino?
I got to see, this is the thing with the Rays. You got to study the roster each year. Because they have a new crop of guys that just throw 102 just to stay in shape.
Oh, that's a nice ekism.
No, absolutely. That's my favorite ekism.
All right, let's go to Jeff in Watertown. Hey, Jeff.
What's up, Jeff?
How are you today?
How you guys doing? Good. Well, the record is what it is. So, I mean, right now they're the best team in baseball. The thing that we've been saying all along is that they're giving us a reason to pay attention, and they're also giving the front office a reason to be looking at trades and, you know, where to improve and to be competitive and not to just kind of wait another year. And I'm just wondering about that. Like, how has scouting been going on before the minor league season started? I mean, are scouts going to those, you know, scrimmages or whatever they're having, those, you know, how is that whole process happening? Like, how are they?
They are. And it is interesting because the Red Sox have, you know, they have those players to be named later who are they're hinging on basically winning the Benintendi trade with. And a lot of it, they can't define that until these minor league teams start playing. So while they've had some scouts at these alternate site games, it's truly the scouting really hasn't gone on as much. And it was interesting because I know a scout, a National League scout, and last week when he went to the Mariners series, and he said he was the only scout there. Like, that was bizarre to me.
That's insane.
Yeah, he was the only scout there sitting behind the plate. And because a lot of these teams, they're waiting to get into May, and they're leaning on the video stuff more than ever, which is sort of demoralizing. You know, like, I'm all about the scouts. Yeah. Anyway, Jeff.
And the other thing is that I also thought, it just struck me that that Albert Pujols, and the release of Albert Pujols in L.A., when Mookie Betts is there on, you know, a long-term contract, which, you know, I'm on record, I would not have given Mookie that kind of contract. And it just, you know, strikes me. Like, I wonder, is anybody like, thinking about that? Like how sad, you know, the whole Pujols thing, when they signed him and the El Hombre sign, and this was going to be the big thing, and it turned to, you know, and it's just been a complete, you know, failure. And now, you know, this once great player is just kind of released. And, you know, I just wonder, like, in L.A., like, has anybody, like, looked around and said, gee, this is what happens when you sign these players to these long contracts? And it just kind of struck me as ironic that they're both playing in the same region and you know, this is what happens.
Yeah, I mean, well, the Mookie deal, though, Jeff, is, I think, a little bit different if you're looking at the point in which it was signed. I mean, when did the Pujols deal was, he was, what, 32? When he signs a 10-year deal?
He already had 450 home runs.
And he's 32 years old, and they signed him to a 10-year deal, getting him all the way to 41, 42 years old. So I think with Mookie Betts, it's a little bit different considering how old he is. But
yeah,
understandable.
But there's also concerns about his body type.
No, I know. And he's banged up this year. He's already a little banged up to start this season. So that's a fair point on that. Jeff, thank you for the call. As always, Jeff is a Live BP
Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer.
I hope you didn't take offense when I inducted Wade Miley's T-shirt into the Hall of Fame without consulting you.
No, we're going to talk about Wade Miley today. Stunning what happened last night. Is that, if that's not the sign of what 2021 baseball is, then I don't know what is. Wade Miley, at whatever age he is, throwing a no-hitter. But we have Ron. We have Ron in Andover. We're going to go to Ron in Andover. What's up,
Ron? How you doing, guys?
What's up?
Hey, Ron.
Rob, I'm a big fan of yours for a long time. I never call, so I won't be in any Hall of Fame. I never
call. By the way, you were just inducted, Ron.
And the sound of the sports in the background.
Ron, before you go on, congratulations. Yeah. By complimenting me, you just got into the Hall of Fame. So
God, qualifications are low here. Yeah. My goodness.
Okay. No, what I was going to say is I appreciate work because you know the box score, you know the X's and O's of baseball, but you also address a lot of the more nuanced issues like you're doing today, or personalities or trends. One thing that I really have wanted to ask is that I grew up in Chicago watching a horrible Cub team, but great, great National League defensive teams, you know, outfielders. And I've felt since seeing Jackie Bradley, and I know I love the record the Sox have put up. It's working out fine. But I remember Lou Maloney said something just after he left, and Lou said, one of the things you're going to hear most this year is Jackie would have had that. And I heard myself say it like about 25 or 30 times in the first month. And of course I understand the hitting. I want to ask you, when you have a guy that is clearly in such a key position as center field at Fenway, a lot of the big, big parks, when you have a guy like that, how low, in your mind, how low can you accept? What kind of batting average and power can you accept? Or, you know, can't it be coming from the corners or from the first and third base and the corners left and right when you have a guy that gifted? Well, how do you feel about it?
Ron, thanks for the call.
You know, I think that it comes down to this. What else do you have in the lineup? I mean, that's basically it. Like Jackie Bradley right now, you know what he's hitting?
It's got to be bad, whatever it is.
179. Yeah, 179 with a 574 OPS and 36 strikeouts in let's see how many games. 36 strikeouts in 30 games.
Yeah.
So
what are we
what are we doing?
I mean, I understand the JBJ discussion. We've had it for 6 years of if he could do this, if he could hit that. At the end of the day, Jackie Bradley Jr. with the Boston Red Sox was a .239 hitter from 2013 to 2020. And that's exactly what he was. He was like a .240 guy, little lower, little higher, depending on what year it is. Last year he closed strong and ended up hitting .283 heading into free agency. He gets, a two-year deal for $24 million with the Brewers. I think Jackie Bradley Jr.'s time in Boston was ups and downs. He was the best defensive center fielder I've ever seen on this team. He wins a ring. I don't think we should still be talking about Jackie Bradley.
No, but the point is that if I guess if you want to get into like this week in the bottom part of the Red Sox order, it's the same sort of conversation.
He would fit perfectly in the bottom of this order.
But the fact is that you have Franchy Cordero doing his Franchy Cordero things up until he took over baseball on Thursday, but he wasn't doing it in the field. Like we always said, well, he's doing it in the field. To answer his question, as long as you have the rest of the lineup that can carry you and you're doing something else, then you can live with that, right? Am I wrong?
Well, especially with this lineup. I think specifically...
But I'm not talking about Franchy. I'm talking about Jackie.
But I'm just saying Jackie in relation to the Red Sox.
Yes.
If you had brought him back, hypothetically, kept him in center field, Kike's at second, Verdugo, where would you put Verdugo? Right, and then have Renfro in left? And then Franchy's just not even a part of the discussion. Because obviously that changes the whole dynamic if you keep Jackie. Instead, you let him go. You've had Kike in center field. One thing off that call, Rob, though.
I know where you're going with this.
I disagree with.
No, I haven't
there's
done
There's been
the...
maybe two Jackie would have had it. There's no
there
way.
There was one the other day where Kike
took a weird route and he ended up towards the bullpen. He should have gone towards the triangle. But whatever. It's his first month in Boston and the triangle's bizarre. So I was fine with that. I think Verdugo had one that he kind of misread. Evaldi right now, which is a big deal.
This is practice makes perfect.
I'm telling you, I haven't said Evaldi in a couple weeks. It's been huge.
You're perfection.
I know. I learn and I grow. But there's only been like twice. You can't realistically tell me that you've been watching, and I say you hypothetically, have been watching all these Red Sox games and have had 25 times that you've said Jackie would have had it. That's just incorrect. That's straight up incorrect. Kike's been very good in center field. Unfortunately, he's on the IL now. Verdugo's been good. I haven't.
Here's the thing. He's been good enough. Yeah. He's been good enough.
But isn't that, especially with how Verdugo's playing, I'm totally
right.
fine
so
with that.
So if you have an outfielder, Verdugo and Kike Hernandez and Hunter Renfro and Wright, you're good enough defensively.
Does random question on Verdugo. Is his on-base streak still going? Did he reach on a fielder's choice? Does that count as your on-base streak continuing? I'll have to find that out.
That I do not believe that counts.
I didn't think it did either. He went 0 for 5, and I think his streak ended.
It was right there with Ripken. Everyone was very, very excited.
And that's why it was a big story. They were in Baltimore.
Wiggy was going to have it as his lead on Monday.
I'm telling you, it was one of those things. Oh, we're in Baltimore, the Ripken streak, the Verdugo streak. It was just all coming.
I almost drove down there, 8 hours. All right, 617-779-7937. I see you all lined up. patient. We're going to get to you also after the break. I have big news for Steve Peralt.
Ooh.
And he doesn't even know it.
Oh, wow.
And it's a present to him.
Wow.
All right. Look at you. You're blushing.
I'm excited.
All right. 617-779-7937. This is the Live BP Show.
And now for the Live BP Baseball Show.
Ballpoint, boom, net, net, ball, net, done.
With Rob Bradford and Steve Peralt.
Throw a ball to the stick, man.
More baseball talk now.
We have some pillows. We have some pillows on the dirt.
Bradford and Peralt on WEEI.
We're going to be fine, man. I mean, we just come every day and prepare ourselves to go out there and compete. Like I told you guys before, from last year too, we're never going to quit. We got a good team, and I know that the people say we're not going to be good this year, and I'm sorry we're going to say, but we're good. So tomorrow, we just, you know, we're going to come here and do our job and win games.
All right, that is Martin Perez, social media darling. Martin Perez. This is Live BP Baseball Show. I'm Rob Bradford along with Steve Peralt of Section 10, Bleacher Report. And so there's a little bit to pick through, and I know you're the guy always to pick through the interviews.
Yes.
But let me just do a preemptive strike.
Do it.
I am sick of the, like, I know nobody thought that we were going to be good. All right. Yes. Nobody thought you guys were going to have the best record. Yeah, that I get it, and this is becoming a theme. And you're and there's no media in there, and you guys are circling the wagons in the socially distant clubhouse. All right, fine, enough.
But we're good.
All right, we get it. Okay, you're good. You're just as good as we proclaimed. You're just as good as any other team. Here's another thing, though, that has been bugging me, which like I've heard a lot since the Franchi Cordero thing. It's, I don't know if you know this, Steve. It's a hard game to play.
It is, yes.
Oh, will you stop
it's hard, it? Hey, it's hard to win ball games, Rob. You know? I mean, just beating any team in Major League Baseball, even if they stink as bad, and the Tigers stink.
But
oh, my God.
How many times in the Franchi conversation, or now the Dahlback conversation, have we heard everybody in there, every time this is brought up, say, listen, this is not an easy game. It's not an easy game. It's not an easy game. Yes, I understand. That's why you are being paid $20 million to play it.
Exactly. Right. That should be the kind of comment that just, you have a list of lines at the start of the year where it's like, just don't say this. You can use whatever reason you want for X, Y, and Z, but please don't say it's hard to hit the ball and it's a hard game to play. Because we know. We know. There's a reason we're talking about it and you're playing yes. it. We're aware that it's very hard to play baseball, especially at the major league level. But it's just such a low-level response. Like, just get that out of here, and let's actually talk about what we're seeing on the field. One thing with my boy Martin Perez.
Yes, go ahead.
I've had a lot of back and forth with Martin over the last year and a half, whenever he came to Boston and, you know, became a big fan with the whole Perez Day thing. And I know you love that more than anybody.
I love it. So good.
The thing with that line specifically from Martin that was a slightly odd to me was just that It felt misplaced. It felt like it was a quote that you got
the swear?
Well, the swear, yes. That was unnecessary.
I'm going to get to that in a second.
No,
go
we can
ahead.
Get to that. Swearing in a press conference, it's...
I love it.
I think there's places for it, but I don't think it necessarily needs to be in a line that was like out of absolutely nowhere. That was my thing with that. I love that, by the way. That was the thing with that line. It just felt like you would... almost taken it from a different post-game press conference, because if I'm not mistaken, that was one of the worst games of the season.
It was.
Right? Martin Perez, it's a 1-1 game, two outs away from the first time all season that he gets through the sixth inning, potentially, and sure enough, two-run double, and then he comes out of the game, and the Red Sox end up blowing it in extra innings. I just thought it was, to your point, like, we know, like, the Red Sox are good. The Red Sox are good. Like,
they are
we
good.
Know they're good. Like, we've already...
They're bleeping good.
Like, if the season is, like, a cross-country trip, like, we're already getting close to the Midwest, and, like, now you're talking about the start of the journey, where yeah. it's like, you look way back there, it's like, oh, yeah, that's right. In spring training, you're talking about they're good.
Mighty Mississippi.
And they're going to be sneaky good, and, you know, but... And we talked about that on the spring training shows that we did. Only a couple weeks into spring training, we were already ready for that we're sneaky good to stop. It's like, okay. The more you say you're sneaky good, now it's like, you know, it's not a secret anymore when you keep saying you're sneaky good. So I would love for us to all, you know, put the don't be surprised if we win this amount of games, that amount of games. I'm not surprised. This is a good baseball team. You have arguably the best lineup in baseball. Your pitching is struggling a little bit right now. The tail end of the lineup is going through it a little bit, even though they had a good night last night and previously in the last game of the Tiger series. But that was my one takeaway from that line, is that it felt like it was from a press conference like a month ago and not from this past week.
Yeah, I don't want to have Ralph from Cranston hold on anymore here. I do want to get into swearing in press conferences. Very important. And also, I do have the present to give you as well.
Yes.
But first, let's go to Ralph in Cranston. Hey, Ralph, how are you?
Hey, guys. You know, I right now they are the best team in baseball. Let's judge it by the record. You know, I don't think this is going to continue. I am shocked and elated. But, you know, I think two things we're seeing. We're seeing more now what Chaim Bloom really wants to do with this team. He's picking up a lot of guys, and they don't all stick. Good value, good pitching, decent pitching. And I think we're seeing more of that. But I have to give Cora credit. I mean, Cora is like the anti-Brad Stevens. He's getting so much out of these guys. They buy into everything he says. They're playing their butts off. I wish Brad could get his team to do that. And Cora's been a huge part of this, like him or not. Cora's been a huge part of this. I mean, right now he's the manager of the year going away with what he's done with this team, you know. And but if you have to say, will they sustain it? I mean, not on paper, you can't see it, you know. But we're related so far with what we've seen. Can I ask you this?
Let me ask you this question, because one of the callers brought this. Maybe it was Jeff in Watertown. But it was, okay, you know, this team has given the front office reason to potentially be aggressive. Right now, as we sit here, what should they be aggressive about? Because you have, we pointed out, Ralph, you have baseball in this weird world of a lot of very flawed teams. And if you want to make a move, this is your chance to make a move. What would you say they should make a move on right now?
Well, first of all, you know, what they do is they pick up good value. And I think you're going to see that as some of the teams see they're not that good and they're flawed. I think Chaim will look for the same thing he always looks for, good value. Maybe another defensive player, somebody who could be a good outfielder or something like that. But right now, I think he's pretty satisfied. You know, and what I'd like to see, too, I'd like to see Jared Durham. I'd like to see Tanner Houck. I mean, he's got these two guys that look like they're major league players already to come up. So to be desperate is gone, because they're a pretty good team. But I don't know if you're looking at anything right now and you say, wow, we're weak right here. I thought, Rob, that the weakness was going to be defense. And it's not the greatest. But he's overcome it, and I give that to all the credit to Cora on that. But right now, what do you need? You know, it's not like you have to go out there and say, this is what I need. And like I said, you got Tanner Houck. We're going to see him soon. We're probably going to see Duran up to sooner. We're dying to see him. What's he, 25? You know, you got to get this kid up. So I don't think you're really looking at anything. You'd say, well, here's what we can go after that really can make this team. Right now they're playing well, and you're getting 110% out of what they are. And I give them all the credit in the world. That's the Cora and Chaim Bloom. They've done a great job so far.
Ralph, thanks for the call. My biggest thing, Rob, is I think it's rather obvious what they're going to need the most of, and that's bullpen arms. I mean, do you feel confident in the Red Sox bullpen overall?
No, and we have Ryan Brazier sitting there. But, like, yeah, people should understand.
Yeah,
like,
when I talked,
but he was that's the reaction people get with Ryan Brazier. But if you look at last year, he was their best relief pitcher for 75% of the season.
No, I know.
Like, he was nails. But the point is that he's better. If you get that guy that you had last year, he's better than what you have now, for the most part.
For the most part, yes. He was a 4 ERA guy last year, 4.85 in 2019.
Well, he had like a 1-something ERA like the last 75% of the season, which is a month and a half of the season.
I was going to say, him and Jackie probably were the best players in the team to close out next to Verdugo.
But you're right. But you're right, because there isn't the guys that you have potentially coming up. There's some guys who can help. Marcus Walden, Edward Brizardo. Maybe even, I don't know, Colton Brewer type of guy, like Kevin McCarthy. But in terms of getting to Matt Barnes, you're right. I mean, I think that's the guy. Big Darwin's and Hernandez, fine. He's better. But still, is he the guy that you're saying, go get him?
Well, you go down the list with the Red Sox starting rotation, and I know I'd mentioned it with Martin Perez. He has not gone through six innings yet this year. Again, you're not going to lean on Martin Perez like he's going to, you know, carry the rotation or anything. Erod last night, how long did Erod go? Was he five? He was five innings. Pivetta is a guy that doesn't go deep into games. Richards is a guy that every start is who knows what you're going to get, and tonight maybe he helps his cause considering they're playing in Baltimore. But the bullpen is going to be taxed. The bullpen is going to be relied upon. And I don't think you have enough arms there that realistically can get you to Matt Barnes in a save situation.
All right, 617-779-7937. Speaking of Garrett Richards tonight, starting pitcher, after the break, we are going to play maybe the most pointed interview of the entire week, which was a two-minute grill we did with Garrett Richards, and Steve's going to react.
I'm going to react. I'm still waiting on this gift. I don't know what this gift
is. So in this next segment, these two things I can guarantee you, the two-minute grill with Garrett Richards and the gift that I am going to give you.
I just
you.
Have a really good feeling I'm going to be disappointed in terms of the height.
You aren't going to be disappointed.
Okay, we'll see.
All right, 617-779-7937. This is the Live BP Baseball Show. Be back after this.
Time now for the Live BP Baseball Show.
Ball point, ball net, net, ball net, done.
With Rob Bradford and Steve Peralt.
Throw a baller to the stick man.
More baseball talk now.
We have some pillows. We have some pillows on the dirt.
Bradford and Peralt on WEEI.
All right, this is the Live BP Baseball Show. I'm Ron Bradford, along with Steve Peralt, Section 10, and Bleacher Report. By the way, this isn't your present, but we were just awarded the best baseball show on the radio in Boston by Nate, our social media guy.
That's all we need.
I've never won an award before, so.
So that's the one that we got right there. We were going to get to the Richards.
Which do you want? First, the two-minute grill with Garrett Richards, which is, by the way...
I want the present. Let's just get to it.
You want the present.
Absolutely, all yeah. Right. Is it a physical thing? Is it an actual... No, that's a no. See, I'm telling you, this is going to stink.
No,
I just,
it's not.
I just right. know this right, is going
to
stink.
All right, okay. Is your dad listening to the show right now?
He is, yes.
All right, okay. Yeah. So, when you were little Stevie Peralt,
yeah.
growing up...
That's what they called me, little Stevie Peralt.
listening to the great game of baseball on the Red Sox radio network, right?
Mm, yeah.
And what you did, I would imagine, like we all did growing yeah. up, the sound of Joe Castiglione.
Castiglione's the voice of
yes,
summer.
Yes, exactly. Well, so tomorrow I am doing the broadcast with Will Fleming. I am filling in for Joe because Joe needs Mother's Day off. He's a very smart man, and I'm not. I am saying I can do the broadcast on Mother's Day. In the fifth inning tomorrow, Steve Peralt will be on the Red Sox radio broadcast.
I'm on the broadcast
You're on
tomorrow.
The broadcast.
This gift is actually great. I did not expect this.
I mean, how proud is Mr. Peralt right now?
Oh, he's got to be pumped.
I mean, this is great. You're on.
Well, and
EI.
My mom too. It's Mother's Day.
You can give it. You are allowed to give a shout out to your mom.
Absolutely, my mom's the greatest.
And so there is, you know, it's great to have you here for WEI. And part of this family, it's great to have your dad call a couple weeks ago to give that perspective of it. But this is next level.
This is the Red Sox radio broadcast.
Fifth inning.
This is awesome. I'm genuinely excited.
Now,
this is really cool.
As someone who has done, so we used to do the fifth inning up until recently. We did the fifth inning going back to when Alex Spira was with us and yeah. John Tomasi and me, and we would come in the fifth inning. Usually it was home games, and it was so bizarre. I'm just trying to give you the heads up on this fifth inning dynamic because sometimes you can do the, oh my goodness, that went by like that.
Yeah.
And there was no stories to be told. And then sometimes there's pitching changes and you have, in this case, Joe won't be there. But Joe's thing always would be, so what are you working on for tomorrow? I'm like, I don't know, Joe. It's the fifth inning.
I have no idea.
It's the fifth inning.
I think my biggest takeaway from hearing people that will hop into the booth, this is more often seeing, you know, something on the broadcast on Nesson, is that it's such an interesting dynamic when there is a live baseball game going on and you're trying to have a discussion. Well, you know, Will's calling, like you guys calling the game, but you're trying to also incorporate a third voice.
But that's the best. That's the best.
I'm excited for it. I can't wait.
Okay.
I don't think there's many scenarios where I've seen people dominate it, so I'm going to accept this challenge.
Well, one thing to know, and this is what you have to do.
Yeah.
you have to always let him get the pitch in.
Yes.
Which was a – so
talking over the pitch is never
no,
a good
so,
idea.
So, Joe, in spring training, you want Ben Sherrington, the GM of the Boston Red Sox, to come up to the booth? Nah. Because Joe loved Ben Sherrington, but the fact is that he would – talk over the pitches.
Yeah.
And so never do that. Just word to the wise. So
yes.
It's going to be a lot of fun. So tune in tomorrow to that game. If for no other reason, you get to listen to me, but especially in the fifth inning.
Yeah.
All right. We have a segment on the pregame show, the Mike Mananski Super Terrific Happy Hour pregame show. We've been doing it a couple times a week. It is the two-minute grill. And it is a two-minute interview, which is, let's be honest, all that the players want to do and all that people want to listen to. And we talk about the things that we, just simply put, cannot get asked or answered in this Zoom world of no media in the clubhouse. Today, or this week, we had two of them. We had Kevin Plawecki. But the second one is today's starting pitcher, which is Garrett Richards. All right, another two-minute grill, this time with Garrett Richards. Garrett, congratulations on everything. Last couple starts. How you doing? Everything good?
Yeah, doing good. Kind of trending in the right direction. So, doing well.
Earlier in the year, obviously, you had a mustache. You went on the live BP baseball show, which we appreciated. You talked a little bit about your mustache, and since then, you've shaved it off. Tougher decision, picking a team in free agency or deciding to shave your mustache?
Definitely picking a team in free agency. I gave the mustache a good run, over a year of having it. And it was just kind of one of those moments where I was satisfied with it. I'm sure I'll have another run at it, down the line, but I'm good on this one.
You never went Raleigh fingers, though, did you?
No, I didn't. I mean, I'm wiping my face with towels in between innings and stuff. It would look more of like an old broom than it would, jazzed up all game. It would get messed up after the first inning.
All right, last question. Craziest story, you went to Oklahoma. Craziest story from an Oklahoma football game or about an Oklahoma football player?
Wow, okay. So my freshman year at OU was Adrian Peterson's last year there. And we used to work out in the weight room, at certain time slots. And he would always go in and work out on his own, not necessarily with the team, but whenever he could fit it in his schedule. And it would happen to be a few days a week during my time slot. So I remember this dude walking in for the first time, obviously just looks like, a specimen. Walks in, throws on some Lil Wayne, turns the music all the way up, and then throws in a dip of what looked like Grizzly Wintergreen and just proceeded to grab two 65-pound dumbbells in each hand and start jumping on this plyometric box that was at the time probably up to my belly button. It was pretty impressive. I've never seen, I was an 18-year-old kid, and to watch this dude go in there and work out that way was kind of scary, but also astonishing at the same time.
All right, there you go. The interview that everyone was talking about all week long, or at least since Thursday when it was done. Your takeaway, Steve Perrault.
As always, I have multiple takeaways. My first one being, were there only two questions? Was it two questions? Did I black out?
There were technically four. So there was the mustache question. No, I'm sorry. They cut one out, actually. They cut one at the beginning. I asked him for a nickname for his curveball. I just realized that. It was cut out.
Yeah.
So he has a curveball. He throws his curveball with his finger pointing up in the air.
Yeah.
I said, do you have a nickname for your curveball? It went a little bit longer than 2 minutes. So.
Okay, that's fair.
They cut it to 2 minutes for Twitter.
Yeah.
That makes sense. But it was funny when you say last question here. I'm like, I'm pretty sure it's the second question here. I don't know if this is the last
one. That was a long-winded AP answer.
The Oklahoma answer, and this is we're still trying to figure out this two-minute grill thing.
Well, also, Garrett gives, if I remember from the live BP interview we did with him, the answers are, they go. They stretch out a little bit. But my takeaways, he gave up on the mustache far too soon. Far too soon. I understand he had a rough start to the season. I understand, in spring training, a lot of people were on him. But people love mustaches. I grew one out last summer, and people wouldn't stop talking about it. And not in that regard, but I'm just saying people that followed Section 10 were like, oh, keep the stash, grow the stash, do this with the stash. People love mustaches. So if anything, he should have kept it. Because so many people were down on him, but like one of the cool things he had going was a mustache.
But your mustache and his mustache were completely different. Because there is no better description. All the journalists who have been writing all week long never had a better description of any entity than what Garrett Richards said when he said it would look like a broom. Like his mustache, as soon as he said that, I'm like, you're right.
Yeah, especially it how it kind of goes out a little on yes. the sides, but it kind of looks a little messy. Yeah, true. That is accurate. The Adrian Peterson thing, I find that very interesting because with baseball players, and maybe this becomes more of a thing as we go down the line here the next 5-10 years, but you never really think of baseball players and think of their college. Like I never look at like, I guess Pedroia is a guy, you know, with the, what, Arizona State, and you have a couple guys that I've known, like Veritek, Georgia Tech, but I never really think about their college that much, so I just learned that, you know, he was in the weight room with Adrian Peterson.
Well,
I thought that was interesting.
You know, coming off the whole jacket comment, you're like, oh, he's a Southern California guy. He's from California.
Yeah.
Played for the Angels, played for the Padres, and like, whoa, what? Wait a second. He played at Oklahoma, which my takeaway from that, the Adrian Peterson thing was, what was the dip he had? What was he said? He had a big, like, it was, what was that?
Grizzly, I think.
Grizzly, yes.
Oh, yeah.
He had to get that in, which is, I like a little bit of a scene setter where he slaps in a big wad of grizzly tobacco.
I don't know
tobacco.
Dips, but is that like a harder, tough guy
one? I don't know,
one?
But like, I got to be honest with you. I'm not going out and bench pressing 800 pounds while dipping. I'm not doing it.
My last takeaway here was when he mentioned Lil Wayne. So I did a little research. Lil Wayne, at that point, he's my favorite rapper of all time, by the way. He's incredible. Would have been only had released the Carter. I believe the first version of the Carter album, which I'm sure is one of your favorites, is probably what he was playing at that point. Walk In, Go DJ, The Heat. I mean, there were a lot of good songs on here. Ideally, we can come back from break with one of these. That would be great. So, yeah, AP is lifting with relative ease in the Oklahoma locker room or the Oklahoma workout room, and he's playing the Carter by Lil Wayne.
Okay. Well, I do want, when we do the two-minute grill going forward, I do want to solicit questions not only from you, Steve Peralt,
yep.
But from the Live BP family, the fans, the people on social media, everybody. And I can't guarantee I'll get them in. Probably won't get them in because
But that's what you got to do. You got to say from the jump, hey, this might not get answered, but you have a chance.
Sure.
That it will.
But I have been more. We've done four of them now. We've done Dahlback, Vasquez, Plawecki, and Richards. And I can say after doing each of these, I've been in the best mood. And you
well,
know
they're solid. Also, they don't get these questions.
That's the point, though. That this is what I've been missing in baseball. Right, this is what I've been missing, where you go into a locker room and this is a Tuesday where you can ask these stupid questions.
Yeah.
So
I miss just doing more of these interviews because when the season starts it's harder to get the access. But
yes.
No, they've been great. I think the 2-minute grills have been really good and I love breaking them down. So anytime you do one, we should play it on here and break it down.
All right, so that takeaway from that segment. Steve Peralt will be on the fifth inning of the Red Sox
yes,
radio, Shaw's and Star Market Red Sox radio broadcast with Will Fleming and myself. And we also have a 2-minute grill. Stay tuned for more of those coming up. I see you all want to talk about Pujols. I want to talk about Pujols. It's a very
What did you just say?
Pujols.
Yeah, Pujols.
Pujols.
Albert Pujols.
Albert Pujols.
You said it weird.
Pujols.
Yeah, Pujols. We're talking about Pujols.
But there's a lot to sort of pick through with this.
There is.
Other than this, like, he was really good and he got really bad and they released
him. The Ortiz-Pedro aspect of this, they were very aggressive.
Very aggressive.
Yeah.
Okay. 617-779-7937. I see you all lined up. Just hang in there. We'll be back right after this.